Joining us now is Tad Friend, a staff writer for The New Yorker magazine. He recently wrote an article about the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco and talked to some people who had survived suicide attempts jumping off that bridge. And thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
According to your article, just 26 people have lived through that jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. And one of the fascinating things you write in this really interesting article is about their decisions that occurred to them in midair. Tell us about it.
Well, as Erica was saying, I think a number of the people I spoke with who had survived while they were on the bridge and contemplating jumping were hearing that siren song and were sort of intent upon all the grievous wrongs that life had dealt them. And then as soon as they made up their minds to actually vault over the 4-foot safety railing, a number of them said they instantly realized that was a terrible idea. One survivor I spoke with, a man named Ken Baldwin, who jumped in 1985, counted to 10, couldn't get himself to jump, counted to 10 again, and then vaulted over. And he said as soon as his hands left the railing, or the last part of his body, to kind of go over the bridge, he realized that everything in his life that he had thought was not fixable was utterly fixable, except for this one fact, which he had just jumped, and he was about to die.
Another one you cite, Kevin Hines, who was 18 years old at the time, jumped, and as soon as he crossed the cord, which is the place where people on that bridge jump from, my first thought, you quote him as saying, was, "What the hell did I just do? I don't want to die."
Exactly.
Yeah. There is a fatal grandeur to the Golden Gate Bridge, you write. What do you mean by that?
Well, a number of the people who either left notes or whom I spoke with who survived, there are not that many people who did survive, talked about being drawn to it as a place that is, and obviously it's probably the most beautiful bridge in the world, and it's in the San Francisco Bay, it's the end of the continent, it is at the mouth of the Pacific, and it's between the city and the rural area to the north, and it has a lot of symbolism attached to it, and it also, the symbolism takes on greater freight because it's so easy to jump off of. The fatal grandeur, even Jim Jones gave a sort of babbling, incoherent speech there in the 1970s in which he was supposedly urging people not to jump off the bridge, but ended up basically saying he was about to commit suicide himself because the bridge was so compelling.
Because so many people jump off it, you write that there are any number of high locations that have become magnets for suicide over the past few years, places like the Eiffel Tower and the Duomo, and all of them, one time or another, put up a suicide prevention barrier. How come there isn't one at the Golden Gate Bridge?
Well, that's a great question. There are two basic reasons given. There's a financial reason, which is that it would cost a certain amount of money, and the bridge district is in a financial shortfall. They are about $200 million in the red at the moment. But at the same time as they're in that shortfall, they spent $5 million to put up a barrier between the road traffic and the bicyclists, a $5 million barrier, even though no cyclist has actually fallen into traffic and been killed. And they're also contemplating a $20 million movable barrier to move some of the traffic around. So I don't think that really washes. The other explanation is simply aesthetics, in that it is incredibly beautiful, and many of the barriers that have been proposed, most recently something called a Z-clip fence, it wasn't very attractive. It looked like a livestock fence. On the other hand, there is already an extremely ugly fence at the south end of the bridge, just sort of a cyclone debris fence, because people were tossing things on the tourists below, in the park below, tossing bowling balls and so forth. So they put up this very ugly fence that's there, and no one seems to mind that. And no one seems to mind the very ugly suicide barriers on the Eiffel Tower or on the Empire State Building, or the Sydney Harbor Bridge, for that matter.
There was a guy you write about, an engineer by the name of Roger Grimes, and back in 1976, he was agitating for a suicide barrier on the Golden Gate Bridge and walked up and down wearing a sandwich board that said, I'm reading from your article here, "Please care, support a suicide barrier," and eventually gave up. Why?
He gave up because he came into this very jauntily, imagining that people were going to, in San Francisco, this famously liberal city, were going to stop the cars and support him and sign petitions and agitate. And instead, people drove right on by, tossed soda cans at him, and many people shouted "jump" at him.
So
he gave up in depression and bewilderment.
And you basically come to the conclusion that there's no suicide barrier there because the people of San Francisco don't want one.
There are certainly many people in San Francisco who do want one. Anyone who's dealt with suicide in among their friends or family wants one. There's a lot of organizations that have agitated for one for years. But collectively, I guess I did think there is something wrong with the psyche of the area. just because I received after the article came out a lot of direct mail and email and phone calls from people who thought there should be a barrier, and it struck me that it surprised me a little bit that there was no response from any media that I've heard of in the Bay Area, even just to attack me to say, well, Tad Friend gets this totally wrong, which would have been an improvement over total silence.
Tad Friend, thanks for talking to us today.
Thank you.
Tad Friend, a staff writer for The New Yorker magazine. His article entitled Jumpers was in the October 13th issue of The New Yorker. He writes that magazine's Letter from California. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.